welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the big stories that have gone on in tech, all the huge things that have happened that technology just will not be held back by. Tonight we have Jake driving the show, so I'm doing nothing. You see both hands, look. Yeah, and we've never met before, have we? Jake is going to do all the switching and all that type of stuff, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm hopefully not going to sound like the idiot I normally sound like because I'm doing so much behind the scenes. Joining me, five-way shot, Jake. We're going to go to say hello to, look at that, seamless. The fantastic panel which is joining me, starting me off, top left. How are you doing, tech support Rich?
I'm doing good, thank you.
I haven't seen you for a couple of weeks. I'm sorry I bailed on you last week, but it all got kind of snowy, and then I didn't feel brilliant, so I thought, oh, what's the point?
Oh, it's okay, don't worry.
Good man. What have you been up to?
Playing Switch. I'd love to tell you something different, but that's been what I've been doing.
Okay.
Sorry.
So it's been a fun existence for you, but not for anyone else who watches your life.
Yeah, basically.
Good man. Nothing wrong with that. Next to him is Jeffrey Gamet.
How's it going?
It's great. This guy switching for me is the best thing that's ever happened. I already feel good.
I feel like the show has stepped it up a notch and is already way more professional.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I'm going to really screw it up with the next jump, though. What you been up to, mate?
Just pining away, waiting for this week's show so that I could see you again. I missed you guys last week.
We missed you too. I didn't think you were on last week's.
No, I wasn't on last week because I was at a conference.
Yes, you were. Was it a good conference or not? Didn't you see mooses or something like that in the snow?
Yes. Yeah, I've got to see moose, which doesn't happen very often. But seriously, they're giant animals, but you don't hardly ever see them.
I got to see moose sounds like a friend that you've got that works at a gay strip club.
Oh, I got to see moose.
I got to see moose. Next to him is Camps.
Amen.
Which one's Camps?
There we go. I was going to...
Oh, right. Why would you say next to him when he was top... Okay.
Okay, because it goes round in a circle first,
well,
you see.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now you know. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Sorry, I couldn't make last Friday.
That's all right, mate. You've turned into Mr. Fitness.
Yeah, I'm enjoying my running. Got my running going again. I'm enjoying, and I've lost 2 stone now, so yeah, all going good.
How far are you going?
I'm not really chasing a target weight. I'm trying to get rid of my belly, and it hasn't gone yet, so it tells me I've got a little bit more to do. But
you've dropped 2 stone, and your belly's still there.
It's not as big as it was, but I just need to tone up a bit now. But I'm enjoying my running now. Can carb up a little bit in line when I get caught for my runs.
You weren't exactly a fat boy to start with.
No, I wasn't a fat boy. I think I just got lazy the last few years. I've used kids, excuses, work. I've used all sorts to not get my runners on and get out there. But
excellent.
Got back into it over the last couple of months. Enjoying it.
Good man. Well done. Righty's next. Hello, buddy.
Hello, mate. Now how you doing?
What did you do this week?
We launched a little thing called the Pocket Show, didn't we?
We relaunched the Pocket Show.
We did.
Right, he was hosting it, Camps was on it, I was on it, and we went through all of the iOS, Android and Windows OSs and reminisced, nay.
Yes.
There was even a bit of Symbian in there and beyond.
Yeah, and James Hart seemed to have every single phone he's ever owned.
Well, yeah, he's a bit of a geek though, isn't he? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit around here.
It was well done, mate.
So are you drinking gin straight from the bottle?
No, ginger beer, Jeff. Ginger beer.
Ginger beer.
All right. Well.
It could have joked to come back to me while I was scratching my eye.
Yeah, I know.
This is where
you're at. Yeah, at least it wasn't my arse. That's fair enough.
The
Pocket Show is going to be every month.
I'd like to do a little more regular than that, to be honest.
But at least every month.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to cover all of the mobile OSs, hence the Pocket Show as it used to be anyway.
Yeah, we're not biased towards one. And if I'm going to have a 3-strike rule, so if you get too biased, then you're out.
I'm tough.
Good man.
Like that. Welcome back, mate, and well done for resurrecting it. It's superb. I hope we have plenty more of them. And last but by no means least, in the studio, Muller, how you doing, mate?
Hello, mate. I'm all right.
Oh, I haven't plugged you in.
Oh,
Finally teach him to hold the mic up to his face, and then you don't...
I know.
Is this on?
It's on. Yeah, no, that was deliberate. That was deliberate. I just thought, what's the point? You don't use the microphone, why plug it in? Stop swaying around, because you're screwing up the white balance. Stop looking at me, I'm not looking at you. Look at the
screen. Oh, sorry.
At the camera. Look at the camera. Everyone's in the camera.
What pro?
I had such high hopes for increased production value tonight.
At least the show felt professional for a minute.
I'm doing what I can, all right?
Bronwyn says, sexy legs, Paul. I'm not sure that you've shown any leg, have you, yet, Paul?
She knows my legs.
Oh, there's no... Oh, you're wrong person.
Sorry. New backgrounds, man. What have you got? Yeah.
Come on, Jake.
Paul and Wrighty is the one that's got the Star Wars top on. There we go. What the hell? Sit down, Muller, for Christ's sake. There's children watching.
Oh God, sausage party now.
The Week in Tech, what's going on? What are the big stories? What do you think we need to talk about? Who's going to be first to shove their story in the chat room? Ooh, and Paul is right away again. Oh, damn, he's got fast fingers. The Verge. Microsoft, Windows 10S. 10S, come on. There's got to be a bit of reach in there. Everything you need to know about Microsoft's Chrome OS competitor.
Yeah, so this week... Microsoft released a MacBook Air with Chrome OS on it, basically.
Yep.
Because everyone's eating their lunch. They can't do very well in the high end. They can't do very well on the low end because Chromebooks are doing that. So they said, well, we fancy a bit of that. So you got Windows 10S. Okay. So obviously this is a cut down version of Windows, apparently. You can only install apps from the Windows Store. So that's three of them.
Oh my God, I missed you guys.
And this isn't Windows RT, is it?
Well, it's Windows RT, but it runs on Intel. Obviously, where Windows RT was an ARM-based system, which was shite. And they think what they can do now is copy what Chrome OS are doing, because I think something ridiculous like 60% of schools in America have Chromebooks now. Because they're very simple, very easy to use, because all you do is charge them up overnight, give them to the kids, they log in, and you charge them up at night, and they use them the next day, because you log in and all your stuff's there. And Windows thought, instead of doing anything innovative, we're going to just do the same thing that everyone else is doing, because they're not chasing Apple anymore. But then the thing that really got me is... They released a laptop along with it, which is the Surface laptop, which is the £1,000 laptop that's got the cut-down version of Windows on it. And then it gets complicated, because if you want, for $50, you can put proper Windows on it. And you're like, okay, so what are you actually trying to do then? Are you trying to sell a... Because the point would be affordable laptops, which vendors are doing. So people like Acer and HP and that are obviously going to release versions of this. And they're going to be like $189, which does rival the Chromebook. But it's another thing. It's like with the mobile thing. There's this kind of thing where they go, well, Apple looks at a market and they come along with something better, don't they? Windows looks at a market and goes... Me too, and comes in and doesn't do very well. And if this is the future of the way that Windows is going to go, I can see the merits of it, because maybe education, definitely, a version of Windows you can't get viruses on and everything sandboxed, then that's great. But I really think they're kind of missing the idea, because they're saying like one OS for everything, and then they release more versions of an OS. And I just think they really don't know what they're up to.
I think it's quite telling. If you go back to that picture of the presentation, and you look in the top right corner, well, I'm proud today to introduce you to Windows 10S, brackets, applause. And it's like the cue card for the...
Oh, geez, I never saw that.
No,
oh my God.
It's just like, if you're going to have a cue card, then you have a cue card system that's not on the main presentation window, because everyone's going to go, you wankers. Sorry, but... I thought as soon as I saw that, I was like there is a room full of stooges going, oh my God, isn't that marvellous?
Well, Well, the S has got to stand for shite, hasn't it?
Oh. And we have a first title. S stands for shite.
Well, so what do you do? You've got an operating system that isn't taking off as well as you want, so you make a more shite version of it, you know, that more people get on board.
So the big thing that you've got, with Windows is the fact that 10, I think 10 would have been a huge uptake, because people liked 7, they liked 8, you gave them 10 at a decent price, they'll probably upgrade. But they screwed it by that forced process of update. You will go to 10 regardless.
Oh, God,
and everyone,
yeah.
You know what, shove it up your ass, because no, I won't, actually. And that's where they lost the thread, is that they had, you know, the 10 press men versus the believers kind of analogy of the fact that they've got people who really wanted the next OS, but because they forced them to do it, and the same thing's going to apply with this, they're going to, do you know what, I don't want 10S, sod off.
Well, the thing is, you don't want 10S. If you want to do anything that's not in, because the trouble with Windows 10S is, there's upsides and downsides to it. The downside is you can only use Edge, and you're locked to Bing. Yeah, which isn't such a bad thing. You can just set your homepage as Google. It's not the worst thing in the world. There's a lack of apps on the Windows Store. So what they're now doing is putting 32-bit apps, Windows 32 apps, in the store. It's like, okay, so once you have a normal Windows, and then you're offering them, and I think if you pre-order up to the end of the year, you get a free copy. If you're in education, yeah, you get a free copy. But if you're like normal muggles like us, $50, you can have Windows 10 Pro. Well, what are you going to do? What's the point in offering a... It's kind of like, here's a PC with a shit version of Windows on it. You can have a slightly better one for a little bit more money, or if you're in education, $50. I'm sort of for free. Everyone's going to upgrade, aren't they?
Is this one of those where they're going to hit the market running at such a cheap price point, and then people get it, realise probably after a month that they do have to go spend the $50?
Well, that's the point. Microsoft aren't doing the cheap. It's the vendors who are doing the cheap laptops. The Surface laptop that Microsoft released with Windows 10S is $999.
So here's the interesting thing. It says one of the advantages, and this is where they've really tried to copy Apple, is that if you go to the Windows 10S, it will only allow apps from the Windows Store.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is great. But if you type in Chrome into the Windows Store, you get the Surfy browser, the Happy browser, which has got a Google Chrome logo. You get the browser free, which has got a Google Chrome logo, and then you get Google Chrome Guide, which is not Google Chrome, and you get Browser 2016, which is actually a Firefox application wrapped around Edge, and the Space browser. You don't get Google Chrome.
No,
that's the real problem with the Windows Store, is the fact that there's so much shit in there that's selling you stuff that isn't the thing that you want. You can't actually get Google Chrome to run on Windows 10S, according to what I've just done.
No, you can't. You can't at all. And they're not going to let it in either. So you're still, if you're in that market, you're still going to buy a Chromebook. Number one, because they're established. It's an established brand, an established operating system, and it's mature. And the price comparison isn't much different. So I was with my father-in-law the other day, and he's a mechanic, and he just wanted a laptop for the garage so he can look at tech manuals and stuff. I said, bloody Chromebook, £189. He absolutely bloody loves it, because it does the things he needs it to do.
Yeah, another problem Microsoft is going to face with this is that the Chromebook and Google are already really well established in schools.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, you have a device that's designed to integrate tightly with Google services. And that's not something people are going to want to give up, because, of course, Microsoft will want you to migrate over to all of their services. And schools aren't, I don't think schools are going to want to do that.
Yeah. But the other thing is that Microsoft are allowing education to have their in-tune management system. You're like, management system? But with Chromebooks, you don't even need a management system. You just need a login. So yeah, right. students log in, all their Google Docs are there, you know, they're signed into their YouTube accounts and all those sort of things. It's exactly what education needs. Because
lower barrier to entrance.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, 90% of what most people do is in the browser anyway. You don't need the extra thing that Windows offers if you're in the market for a sub-$200 notebook. You know, you just need a browser. You know, I've got a MacBook Air, which I love, but most of the thing I do is in Chrome. You know, I do the odd bit of Photoshop and things here and there, but just generally, I don't have the need to do much else away from my browser. So it's a really convoluted message, and how they think this is something going forward, I have no idea. And now I can see Miller's breasts.
Yes. Yes, you can.
I think what I'm struggling a bit with this is, if you're spending the best part of a grand on a Surface, because this is talking about shipping with the Surface, yeah?
The Surface laptop, which is the new laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's priced at a grand. Why would you spend a grand having essentially a light OS running on it?
Exactly.
Why would anybody do that?
Considering that laptop can actually handle a full version of Windows as well, which you can upgrade to.
Yeah. So what you need to do to make that actually a usable machine, excuse me, is go at least to the mid-level. So you bump it up to 8 gigs of RAM and a 256 gig SSD, and your price goes up to $1,299. So that's your base price right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's also the only version that lets you have a color choice.
That's true, yes. And it's got a carpet on the keyboard for some reason.
The thing that's kind of upsetting is the fact that this is probably actually a very good OS and probably works extremely well and probably does exactly what you want it to and what it says on the tin, but there are so many flaws in the process of application and promotion that a lot of people go, not a chance. They're not going to pull any away from another OS. Excuse me, are they?
No.
No.
They're not going to pull any away from the Windows, you know, enterprise or pro market in education, because I bet you a tenner when our hardware vendors come in, they won't be coming. Actually, they don't want you to do that, because I remember I went to a suppliers meeting when I was IT manager, and they had all the fully fledged HP laptops all laid out on the table to show us. And I did say it, so I said, "What's that under the desk, hidden?" And he pulled it. He went, "Oh, that's our Chromebook. We don't want you to know about that because it's affordable and we don't make much money on it." And they don't. They brought it along because it's part of their range. They don't want you to know about it, because the trouble with things like Chromebooks and stuff is they don't make a very good markup. Well, laptops don't make a good markup at all, but these, you know, you think a laptop $189, you're not making very much money at all. But Microsoft are following the Google model in a way, because you've got these really cheap Chromebooks for under $200, but they do have the Pixel, which is $1,000. So maybe that's what they were looking at.
Serenek puts in the chat room, seems like another Windows RT to me.
Yeah. I think exactly what it is. It's just like the Emperor's New Clothes. It's just trying that again. And Microsoft, again, like the mobile thing, they're just too late. Chromebooks are far too well established now.
Yeah.
So one of the questions that I have about this laptop, when I saw it, my first thought was, oh, wow, really well done commercial for it, and it does look pretty sexy. And then I see the specs, and I'm thinking, holy crap, the media is flipping out thinking this is the best thing since lap dances. And if Apple released this, their eyes would be bleeding with rage. You know, how could Apple release a computer that's using specs that are 2 years old? And so I'm really surprised how the media is loving the laptop, or Surface laptop, and just thinking it's the best thing ever. It's a really nice looking computer, I think, even though it has wall-to-wall carpet.
It does.
But, I really question how well this computer is going to perform.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was an education event that they were pushing it for. It wasn't aimed at consumers. I can definitely see. The thing is, it probably worked better in the consumer market. Because you've got
in education, are education really spending a grand on laptops each?
No, they're buying Chromebooks.
Yeah. So
iPads.
I could understand this light version of the OS on a cheap end notebook. I just don't get it being on a grand surface that's it's a fairly decent machine in terms of power.
Is everyone that's been quiet being polite, or do they not have an opinion?
I actually don't have an opinion. Sorry, I'm aware I haven't said anything since the show started. I am getting my news of this right now. I tried watching the video and couldn't stand it, and tried watching a 10-minute cut-down version of the presentation and couldn't stand it, so sorry. I just have no opinion about this laptop that I can't understand why anybody would buy.
I think Rich is actually in that sense has summed it all up, which is perfect.
Paul Dixon in the chat room says, why? I can see it appealing to the kind of consumer that only sticks with Edge or IE and rarely installs any other apps. And what the hell is the cloth-covered keyboard going to look like in 6 months? Ew, says Serenac.
Yeah, get stains off that boy.
Oh, no, thank you.
No. I mean, so your missus uses a laptop, and you've got one of those, Molly, you've got one of those, the yoga ones, haven't you?
Yeah, she broke it, so I've actually reconditioned an old one.
So does this not appeal?
Not at £1,000, no.
Because your missus is not hugely techy, is she?
No. I've basically repaired a computer I recycled from somewhere else, stuck an SSD in it and done a few bits and things and got it working, but...
Based on the fact you can see me and Muller both in the shot, that was Jake who stopped driving and started drinking.
Oh, I see. Come on, Jake.
But on the other hand, though, Google Chrome, they did bring a Chromebook, didn't they, that cost £1,000, so...
Yeah, there is one at the higher end, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a Chromebook. Well, I don't use it very often, but they're not bad. They're just not useful.
That's not a ringing endorsement.
Well, I bought it for the wife, but she wouldn't. It's not shit, yeah. That is basically it, yeah. I mean, you can't do an awful lot with it, but you can browse and look at your internet and, email and stuff.
So what you're saying is this is your porn box.
You could do that on an Amstrad. I mean, it's...
Or a phone.
Or a phone, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And they're okay, Chromebooks, but... I don't see the point of having a Chromebook costing $1,000, though.
No, if you wanted Windows 10 and you wanted a laptop, you'd go spend no more than £300 on a reasonable price. Dell, HP, Lenovo, Acer, take your pick. They're all out there at sort of way less than half the price of the Surface. And you get the full version of Windows 10.
Jake's trying to work out if he hears a bloke who sounds like he owns a Whippet.
He's going round the house, isn't he?
It sounded like a different person, so I tried to switch to them, which I thought it was.
And
I was wrong.
Mate, this is the best show we've done all year because of you.
That's fine.
Do we change accents now to confuse
them? Mike's going to do a Yorkshire accent.
It'll be even better.
And Camps is going to pretend to be shagging his sister.
We had a deal.
A show title.
Paul Dixon says, "Thing is, Microsoft can make the premium version and leave the other companies to make the lower cost models." Bob Beach says, "Windows 10S isn't a light version of Windows 10. It looks and functions most exactly the same." And that's from an article that Righty linked it to. They killed it, though. The Pixel Book is dead, says Serenac. Could be. If you're wondering why Ewan's talking without spluttering quite so much, it's because I've got both hands free because Jake's doing the driving tonight. So some of the switches, he doesn't know who everyone is. The thing that's amazing though, mate, is the fact that actually someone's going to write to me and go, now you're not driving you, and the production values have really gone up, no matter what you do, because everyone hates me.
You've been drinking, so you can forgive
them. Mate, it's fine. Story 2 came from Jeff, and Jeff wants to talk about the Surface.
You know, the Mac editor. We just talked about the Surface. I have a backup story, if you want to go with that.
Oh, it's, well, let's do a couple of seconds on the Surface, and then let's move on to your backup story. Go on.
All right.
What did you want to slag off about the Surface?
I'm going to slag off on Microsoft, because what a missed opportunity. They could have released this same computer. It's a really slick-looking computer.
It's good.
And they could have released it with better specs, because it has a single USB 3 port, and yep. And I think that's pretty much it. Yeah.
It looks like a Thunderbolt, or is that a display port output on the side?
SD
card. No. There's an SD card slot on one
side. SD card slot.
And on the other side, there is a USB 3, and it's either a USB C. Or on the opposite side, it's...
it doesn't have USB-C.
Well, it looks like a Thunderbolt port or a display port. Mini display
so,
port.
So maybe it's a display port.
Yeah.
But it's a surprisingly limited feature device. It's woefully underpowered for RAM and storage. It comes with just a very limited number of ports, and I totally get when you're looking at Macs, everyone expects the ports to be mostly stripped away. But if you're buying a Windows laptop, you expect to have a few things, and I'm really surprised that they didn't go with USB-C, because they could have tossed a couple USB-C ports on there and then had a lot more flexibility with what this device could connect up to.
I mean, the interesting thing is it tops out at 16 gig of RAM, which everyone's complaining they want 32 gig of RAM on the MacBook Pros, and they haven't followed that. And the one that really floors me is 512 gigabytes of SSD, which, you know, you'd have thought for a laptop, 1 terabyte is kind of like almost your minimum top end.
Right. And the base model is a i5 processor. So... i7 is a premium upgrade for this thing. It just feels like Microsoft really missed the boat with this computer. They designed something that looked great. It's like it's all flash and no substance.
It's not Kaby Lake, is it, as well? So, I mean, an i7, it's not... an i7 processor is costing them about $25 to stick in this thing. So it's not the top-end current processor at all.
Right. It's like they took a MacBook Air, put pretty colors on it, and a higher resolution display, and then took away some ports.
I mean,
it's Apple then.
That's fair. there is a truth in what Muller's just said, surely. Because Apple have got a nasty reputation for taking away ports.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And pursuing their end goal rather than everyone else's, which you can kind of understand. But this thing has got an SD. I can't get over the SD card slot. It's like you're going to put USB 3 in it. You're going to put a mini display port. You're going to put an earphone socket. And then what does it extra need? I know.
A parallel
it
port.
It needs an SD card. Yeah, it's got a link an LPT1 port to link it to a daisy wheel printer. That's what this needs. Daisy wheel printing.
PCMCIA,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, SCSI.
Useless.
What was your backup story, Jeff?
Oh, here's my backup story. And it comes from a press release. But so here's the gist of it. Fitbit is no longer the top wearables product seller. I think that they've totally screwed the pooch here. I think that
who have Facebook?
They've been living in a fantasy world where they felt that because they were the biggest player in the market, that they could do whatever they want and no one was going to be able to compete with them. And now Apple and Xiaomi, over the course of one quarter, knocked Fitbit out of the top slot down to number 3. And I think Fitbit totally failed on on seeing the trends with blending fitness tracking and smartwatches. I think that they kept their products far too siloed from the rest of the market, and people moved on.
I mean, the Fitbit does a very specific job, doesn't it? And I think it still has, there are certain people who will still buy it who are just dead against buying a watch device. They just want something that just does the fitness tracking.
Sure, but Fitbit's going to have to be content with not being the top player in this market anymore.
No, definitely not. But that was always going to be the case because Apple had such buying power and such market value. They were always going to sell an awful lot of the watch, even though it's not stellar amounts. But 3.5 million a year is a good sale number, surely.
No, that's in the quarter.
In the quarter, okay. Yeah. It's even better than in the quarter, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine what would happen to Fitbit, though, if Apple released an Apple Watch that was just the fitness tracking bit?
It's
maybe
the Nike,
it's £100 and, you know, just does the fitness tracking. That would destroy Fitbit immediately.
But it's that's the Apple Nike thing, and it's not. It's 350, so at the lowest.
Well, that's because they've done all the Nike stuff and put the watch in it. And
but that's
all,
that's, all, that's all that is. And I don't, to be honest, I think I may be overcrediting it there. I mean, the Apple Nike may actually be no more than the standard Series 2 Nike.
The Nike version of the Apple Watch Series 2 is an Apple Watch Series 2 with a special skin for the display.
Yeah. Like Hermes.
And a special watch band. That's
that's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if they put out something that was just the fitness tracking stuff.
I mean, like the original watch. Nike. Like the original, was it Nike Fit, was it called?
Fuel band.
The Nike.
Fuel band.
Oh, what was it? I had one.
Yeah, the Fuel band, yeah. And shoved an Apple logo on it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Honestly, I think that would be the end of Fitbit. They're too specialized, and they don't have, you know, your Apple Watch links into all your other services, just like your Android Watch would as well. So they haven't got that, and they'll certainly never have that with iOS as well.
They've got the Fitbit Blaze, haven't they? I see a lot of people at work wearing the Fitbit Blaze. It is quite, in terms of the look of it, with the sort of the stainless steel sort of outer edge on it, it's quite easy to spot, and there's quite a few of those. But I have seen lots of people who are wearing those saying, you've got the Apple Watch, what do you think of it? And just the fact that they're asking those questions tells me that for whatever reason, that Fitbit's not doing what they wanted it to do. Yeah, it's probably got the fitness tracking in there, but whether it's got the notifications or what else it can do in terms of interaction with the watch, I'm not quite clear on. With the phone, sorry.
But that's I think they saw this coming because Fitbit bought Pebble, didn't they? And there must have been a reason behind that to make the functionality of the Fitbit more like the Apple Watch.
Because the Pebble was such cutting edge technology.
Well, it wasn't a great watch, but obviously there must be patents and stuff of things that they can do with it. Because
I really don't. What?
No.
I don't see the thing is. I would say that the patents I'll gladly stand corrected, Righty, but I would say that the patents that Pebble probably had are no longer valid to anything that's not an e-ink based display that's low voltage. So, you know, you look at where the technology's going, it's the curve is that people want performance and they want functionality, which is beyond what the Pebble can provide, hence the fact that Pebble is no longer really a viable entity.
See, I think if you're going to make a product that can also be made as part of another product, then you've got to make sure that your specialized product is better at doing that thing than the bit in the multi-use product. So, like, you know, we've still got high-end DSLR cameras, but the low-end pocket camera market has been absolutely decimated by phone cameras.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can see this is all going the same way, that, yeah, if Fitbit were the definitive word in fitness tracking, and they could, you know, people were saying, yeah, there is fitness tracking in the Apple Watch, but really you want a Fitbit if you want to do fitness tracking. And the truth is, their fitness tracking isn't as accurate as what's in the Apple Watch. It's not as good. So I don't see what chance they've got in the future. And I really don't think buying Pebble will help. That's good. You know, that was a company with the exact same set of problems.
Agreed. I think the I think the Apple Watch version 1, there was a lot of people going, well, the heart rate monitor is shit and this is shit and the there's no GPS in it, it doesn't track me. I go out for a cycle ride without my phone and it says I've done 2 miles when I know damn well I've done 5, which is what I had. And that's gone with the 2. So the 2 is what's put the nail in the coffin of the Fitbit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
Yep, I used to be a hardcore Fitbit fan. And when HealthKit came out and I had to switch everything, I had to keep everything isolated between Fitbit and HealthKit, and then finally the button broke on my Fitbit that I was wearing. It's like, all right, I guess I'm done.
You pressed it too hard.
Yeah, pressing it too often. How many steps did I take?
I got the withings, but the only problem I got with the withings is this constant condensation under the glass.
No, I thought you said that you sent the first one back. I did. And you were going to send the second one back.
It's got worse and worse and worse. I'm going to have to send it back soon because it's starting to get... I mean, it's still there now. Look in the middle.
Yeah, get your money back.
Other than that, it is a great watch.
That's the problem.
So Muller cycled over here from his house, which is, what, 7 miles?
Yeah,
something like that.
So
it's not exactly a huge distance. And he was arriving here at 3 o'clock. So that condensation is now 6 hours old.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
And you shouldn't have that condensation at all.
At all. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
We're saying it's condensation, but...
All the tech companies are conspiring to make Muller buy an Apple Watch.
They are, yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
I can't buy one unless you're clubbing and make me have it.
The taking will be relentless. Do you want to buy my one and then I can buy a two and then...
I'm still paying for me.
You'll save some face.
I won't save any face, will I, look at it?
No, you won't.
No. I mean, I just bought a 7, so at least I've gone some of the way, look.
Yeah, I like that. I've got to say, I felt the 7... I had Muller's 7 inches in my hand.
Bloody hell.
You know, as long as you're both consenting, it's fine, Ewan.
Yeah, and I did like the hump on it. It was.
It's got a hump.
It's got the hump. It's got a solid hump. It worked really well.
I've been humping my phone.
Oh, God.
Anyone got a story?
I've got...
Oh, here please. We go.
Got beaten again.
Oh, go for it if you want, really. It's fine.
Tech support Rich is saying Apple TV, Amazon Video.
Right, this is new today. This evening / afternoon,
Apple
whenever.
Apple TV will reportedly get Amazon's video app this summer.
This is significant. This means that when somebody says, which set-top box should I buy, I might actually be able to recommend one instead of just shrugging and going, which has been my stock response for a couple of years now. There is no one box that does everything you want it to. No one makes one. They're all in some way lacking. But if they get Amazon Prime Video on the Apple TV, that could just finish it off entirely.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are so many little boxes plugged into my television, and they all do every service but one. And that but one is different on every little box.
Yep.
This is... just almost a dream come true.
Yeah, but I mean, and you say that it will do the final job, but is the final job actually only killing the Amazon Fire TV box?
Well, you've got to get the content from it, and I question how well that Fire TV box has ever sold.
I've got one.
I've got one.
Fine.
Hang on. There's only two of us out of 7. So it's,
I have Fire Stick, not a Fire TV.
Okay, that counts.
I've got the stick.
I've got a stick.
And I bought it because Prime isn't on the Apple TV.
No, I've got a sticky
box.
But
that's my point, is if Amazon says, well, we want to be on the Apple TV platform, everyone goes, wow, does it boost sales of the Apple TV? Yes. Does it just do anything with the Amazon Fire Stick line? It kills it. It can't
it
do anything
matter
else.
It kills the Fire Stick line.
But well, it does to Amazon.
No, I don't think
the Fire Stick
line. It's a content, I think, from
a little thing. It's the secondary box you put in the TV in the kitchen or the kids' room or whatever. Yeah. They distill the market for the Fire TV stick because the Apple TV is £140.
I don't even think it's the Amazon hardware that anybody's bothered about here. I think it's a case of regardless of what platform you're using on, all Amazon want you to do is get a Prime subscription.
Exactly.
That's all the one, because you've got a Prime subscription, you're shopping at Amazon, absolutely spending your money and putting that in Amazon's pocket. I've got a Fire Stick since I replaced the TV, and I got and the TV's got Amazon built into it. I don't use the stick anymore now. And to be totally honest, that's the only time I use the smart version of the TV. I use the Apple TV for absolutely everything else. And if Prime goes on to Apple TV, I won't even use the smart TV. I won't use smart TV, full stop then.
Yep.
Great.
Same here. Once I can switch over to using Apple TV for everything, I will. And the only thing I'm not using it for right now is Amazon Prime.
Once I can swap over to swearing constantly at only the Apple TV as to why it doesn't work.
Yeah, you know I'm right. Now you're focused.
You know I'm right. Because there's so much stuff that's just... A Siri on Apple TV, what the fudge is that about? Because it does not work.
It's useless.
It's awful. And I agree. There is nothing good about Siri on any platform that I can possibly see. I'm sorry, Adam. I know you love it. But on the Apple TV, it's horrific. And they're talking about making a Siri-based box like the Amazon Echo. And you're like, no, Christ, no. Because that's going to make you the laughing stock of the tech community. Because you can't even get the phone to get close to what Amazon Echo can currently do. It doesn't work. And then, if Amazon, Amazon have dumped the watch support, which I don't think they did a great deal on it anyway, so that's not a huge loss. But if they're going to throw their cards in with Apple TV, that's going to sell Apple TVs. It's not going to sell Prime Video, I don't think.
It'll sell Prime Video.
Yeah, I think it will.
Absolutely.
Mm. Really? People who want Prime Video have got Prime Video.
Yeah, and anything that Amazon can do to make it easier for you to get Prime Video increases sales.
So
it's like what Netflix has done for years.
But
everything you buy is Netflix, including your toaster.
Are you suggesting that there are people out there who are sitting going, do you know what, I'm not buying Prime Video until it's on Apple TV?
No, but I think there's loads of people out there with Apple TVs who don't have Prime.
But the thing is, the Amazon apps are available on so many items. So I've got two TVs with it on, DVD, a Fire Stick, an Apple, Amazon box. It's on loads of things. So
a toaster.
The only thing I would say is it's going to simplify things. I can take a couple of things away from the TV, free up a couple of ports.
Yep. Anything you do that removes a barrier to entry increases the likelihood of retaining a customer.
And it's one less thing plugged into the mains.
Yeah, I think that Prime is something that most people probably own vicariously through the fact that they've got Amazon Prime for their delivery process. They don't actually, I think probably a lot of people don't even know they've got it for a start. And I think there's a good number of people who know they've got it, who watch it through the web, or who will already own a Fire TV. If I can get rid of my Fire TV and watch it through Apple, as an Apple subscriber as well as, then I'm happy. But I think that's the problem, is the fact that 99% of the people who are going to, 90% of the people who are going to be impressed by this are already Apple TV owners and already Amazon Prime subscribers. It's making life easier for them and nothing else.
It's something I want, though.
And if you make someone's life easier for them, they're more likely to continue subscribing.
They're not going to not retain it and subscribe anyway. That's my point, Jeff. They're like me, who I pay my Netflix subscription and I couldn't care less about $6.99 a month. I pay my Amazon subscription for £79 a year and I couldn't care
less about
£79 a year. And I get extensions regularly because the local delivery people are shit. And I pay my my Apple TV movies and that kind of stuff, and I bought my Apple TV. Majority of people are people who've already got those three things. I don't think anyone is going to buy Amazon Prime because it's on Apple TV. They already have it. If they're a Prime subscriber, they're already a Prime subscriber. And a lot of people who are already a Prime subscriber maybe don't even know that they're a Prime subscriber.
I still want it. I still want it on the Apple TV. It'll simplify my life.
I think this is Amazon walking away from the Fire TV products. Nothing more.
I think this is Amazon being like Netflix and finally agreeing that they just want to be on every single device.
And they don't care about selling Fire TV?
No, they don't care about selling Fire TV.
Because no one's buying it.
It's like they don't care about selling the Kindle hardware. All their products are designed to draw you and keep you into the Amazon ecosystem. So if they can leverage that across other products, then why not?
Exactly.
I agree.
Excellent. Good story. Who's next?
I put my link just under Rich, the YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube is taking on big streaming services with free original content. Katy Perry, Ellen DeGeneres, and Kevin Hart.
Yeah, so it's a bit, the title of this isn't quite accurate, as in they're taking on the big streaming services. I think by that, what that means is they're putting out new original content. That at the moment, they're not putting any original TV shows. Specifically, this article said this. We're not talking House of Cards or anything like that here. What we're doing is talking to people like Ellen, Katy Perry, Kevin Hart. They're putting shows on their own YouTube channels, which will be shown on YouTube, not YouTube Red. So on the free version of YouTube, and that'll all be made available free. Obviously, advertising will play a huge part in this. I'm sure, but I think. Is this where YouTube may go in the future? Because I don't see an awful lot of YouTube Red going on. I don't see much marketing for it. I certainly don't think I know anybody who subscribes to it. But if they're going to start putting out more content in YouTube and bringing the advertisers along with it, and it's free, it's going to certainly increase YouTube subscribers beyond sort of the kids watching it and the people who go YouTube surfing and stay on it for hours just watching short videos.
I think the telling comment is the last sentence where it says the company is said to be committing millions to new programs, giving the YouTube Red productions HBO level budgets. And there's a lot of good stuff going on HBO that has a lot of money behind it. So
yeah, that's a good point. It's a really good point.
YouTube aren't short on cash, and if they're going to throw money behind specific content, then it's going to have an impact. The only thing I would say is the culture that goes around the network, because who watches YouTube videos?
Who watches YouTube Red?
Well, let's just start with YouTube video. So, I mean, if I watch a YouTube video, it's because I've clicked on something or I'm uploading one of the shows to our YouTube channel and I see something which is just like, oh, okay. And then 2.5 hours later, I've watched 10 videos and I'm late for work. But actually, YouTube Red, I think there's an economy of scale here, perhaps, that there's more people than I perceive are probably watching it and enough to make it viable. But are there as many people watching YouTube Red as there are watching HBO?
No.
No way.
I forgot about YouTube Red.
But YouTube watchers in general, holy crap. And especially the younger people, the kids these days, they are so into watching YouTube. For a lot of people, that's
uploads.
Their primary video source.
There's 2 billion uploads to YouTube per day.
Yeah.
Which is 2 crazy.
2 billion.
Jesus.
That's one video for every other man and woman and child on the planet. Unreal. I can't get my head around that. I really can't.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. It's the sort of thing, you click on the link, you see a video, it says at the bottom you might also like want to watch this. You watch that 2-minute video as well, and exactly your point, 2 hours later, you've just watched a load of tosh. My daughter watches YouTube Kids all the time. She won't bother watching. We've had Disney Life for her. We've got Netflix and all the cartoons that come with it. There's the Sky Kids that she's got on her iPad. And she watches YouTube Kids at any opportunity she gets. So I don't know. I'm not sure how much I'd be interested in seeing the original content on here. I think it's really. I'm going to keep my eye when things like Ellen, Kevin Hart start coming on and see what the quality of the shows are like. I just hope it meets the mark and it's not just attracting people for ads.
Saranaki in the chat room says, my kids spend more time on YouTube than on real TV, in inverted commas.
Yeah, same as me.
And the thing that's interesting, I mean, if you look at Bryony, my daughter is, she watches YouTube constantly, and she'll watch makeup videos and then come down and she's got some like Egyptian style makeup, which she's done like an 8-year old. sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. And then the other one is she is obsessed with life hacks.
Yeah.
And the life hacking video, she comes down and she'll be like, well, let's do it like this. And she comes out with stuff. And like 1 in 10 is like, holy shit, that's the best thing ever, Bryony. And I'm sold. But then the other 9 are like, okay, why did you do that? Because that's ridiculous. But she is obsessed with watching life hack videos on YouTube. And she hasn't got that from anyone. That's not come from Ellis. It's not come from me and Sharon. She's watched YouTube and she's alighted to that content. And that's the key part, is if YouTube wants to be successful, they've got to get things where people are like that content. Patrick in the chat room today in Slack, he put a video in about someone cutting open a fidget spinner. And you're like, why do you want to cut it open? It's a frigging ball race inside a piece of plastic. What on earth do I want to, why cut it open? That's a 20-minute video that's got 6 million views of someone taking an angle grinder to a fidget spinner. Yeah. Like most YouTube videos that are American, it's 15 minutes of shit explanation about what's to come that you're not really interested in, and when they actually do the thing you're interested in, it's actually pretty shit anyway. And that's it. And 6 million views have got it. And there's other videos on that channel that I looked at, and they've got 43 million views, and all they're doing is chopping something open with an angle grinder.
Oh, there's a lot of entertainment to be had in chopping things open with an angle grinder, though. I mean, you're so underestimating.
Oh, Will It Blend is my favourite channel.
Will It Blend is amazing. Have you seen the hydraulic press channel?
Yeah,
we're just going to squash stuff in a hydraulic press.
We must kill it.
In high res, in a high frame rate video. Superb.
Yeah.
Slow-mo guys as well.
Slow-mo guys, superb. Yes, good point, Jake.
But if the original content they make is genuinely good, valid, worthwhile content, then does it matter where it is?
I think there's a certain point in YouTube that there is an awful lot going up there, and 99.9% of it is crap, which if you're talking about 2 billion uploads a day, that still leaves an awful lot that's left over. And if people watch it, it's self-sustaining. It's self-evident that that's what people want if people are watching it. Mm-hmm. It's like Jeremy Kyle TV or Jerry Springer TV. You know, everyone can sit back and can have a utopian view and go, well, that's shit television. Yeah, okay, but the guy gets 45 million viewers every episode.
That's because we're all watching Car Crash TV. We love it.
Well,
we are, aren't we? We're looking at these people and going, I'm glad I'm not them. I'm glad I don't live in Norfolk.
Oi! 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 Oi!
I've got a thing in my head with Derek Beatty that there was a TV show in Norfolk in the 80s calling Sister and Brother. We gotta love one another.
Ah, you can shut it. We had a deal, Rankin.
Ah, no, I've gone back on it.
I broke it.
Who's next?
There's only me left.
There's only you left. No, Rich isn't the story, is he?
I did the Apple TV thing.
Oh. Right, Muller's story. This is a good one, actually. I've got to say, I quite like the idea of this one. DIY gun control. So, Muller, talk us through it.
Well, I'm going to try and keep the politics out of it, because the article is very political. But basically, it goes on, there's been 105 mass shootings in the US this year, and there's been 385 last year in 2016. A lot of them are murder suicides and whatever. I'll try and get to the gist of the actual story rather than to the politics of it. They're talking about introducing biometric gun control. So basically you put a fingerprint on there, and also electronics into the guns. So you can have like a geospace where you can turn the guns off, or you can actually set your gun. So if you buy it for home to maybe just to defend yourself against burglars, you can actually set the gun so it only works in your house. So if it gets taken outside, it won't work. Or if your child picks it up, he's not going to, he or she won't accidentally shoot you. That's the tech part of the story. The other part of the story is very political, and I don't want to get into that. So that's my basic story. Are we going to be able to do this? I mean, I think the technology to do it is way off. Plus, there's in the US, there's probably at least one gun for every person there, and all those guns aren't going to have biometric controls. And then there's the aspect of, if you can turn a gun off, and we were talking about this, weren't we, Ewan?
Yeah.
Would the security services guns also get turned off in these areas so they would be unable, say if the terrorists got in there, could they turn them off? and then they've got guns that work, and your police officers and security services, their guns aren't working. So, flipping hell, there's a lot of things on there. If you ignore the politics in the story, that's what I'm trying to drive down to, is biometric and sort of protections on guns. Discuss.
So technically doable, because you've got a fingerprint reader on your iPhone, so you can put one on a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. James Bond has had one since License to Kill, so you know that's two James Bonds ago. I mean, the unavoidable, I'm sorry, it's the unavoidable politicism of it. It's a country that has just brought back, it repealed laws stopping mentally handicapped people buying guns. Yeah. They're not going to put any form of locking system on any gun. End of. Doesn't matter.
Well, that's why I tried to keep that out, because that's in the article.
Yeah, it's just, I don't, it's that. Kind of like, we could make this, but I don't know why this would ever be made, so, or who would buy it.
On New Year's Day in America, 264 people were killed by violent gun crime. On New Year's Day, we haven't killed 120 people with violent gun crime in the last 120 years.
Clearly your problem is you don't have enough guns.
Well, yeah.
Norway has killed one person from violent gun crime in the same period of time.
The only problem is, and this story does pick up on it, is that apart from the US obviously winding down some of its gun laws, is that in the past, Smith & Wesson did try to bring out a gun lock so that the guns wouldn't fire unless they were used by an authorised person. And the National Rifle Association got wind of it, and Smith & Wesson nearly went out of business. So, I'm not sure if it's going to get off the ground. I mean, unfortunately, I think Jeff's the one here that's going to tell us about that. The National Rifle Association has far too much power and far too much money.
It's all the guns they've got.
Yeah, the NRA is a political group as opposed to a representative of the people. And this political group represents business. And I know that's not how the NRA was supposed to be in the beginning, but that's what they are today. And yeah, so as long as the NRA is in a position where they can have as much power over the political process as it relates to firearms in this country, you're not going to see any significant change. I mean, I like the idea of companies like Smith & Wesson and Colt and Ruger and whoever else deciding that they're going to put biometric controls onto guns to limit who can use them, and then just put those out on the market. Because, I mean, there's no reason why they can't. But the thought that the NRA would take action against companies because they're trying to make firearms safer is really pretty creepy and disturbing.
If you have you watched Thank You for Smoking, Jeff?
No.
Right.
I was afraid I would get so angry that my eyes would.
No, it's a brilliant, brilliant film. But Aaron Eckhart is awesome in it. You need to watch that. If you watch that, that's about the tobacco industry. Then in your head, take what the tobacco industry says and does and convert it to the NRA. And you're kind of like, oh, that makes sense. and then what you've got after you've watched that film, cross it with the Church of Scientology, and you look at the aggressive tactics of them in terms mm-hmm. of brainwashing and culture and aggressive behaviour towards people who criticise them, and that's the NRA.
Oh.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, they are an unfathomably horrific organisation in that sense, because the solution that they have to all of the problems associated with gun crime is more guns.
Yeah.
And yet, if you look at America, why is there no referendum on guns? Because I think you would find that probably 80% of Americans would want a ban on handguns and automatic weapons.
It's because of the NRA.
It's because of the NRA. Because the NRA has put so much money into Washington, there will never be a referendum on gun control because there is too much
money. It's against the law in this country to conduct studies about guns and gun violence.
What?
Seriously, yeah, it's against the law to conduct studies about that.
It's in this article, that is, as well.
And it's because the NRA has so much power, and they've been able to push through laws that limit the types of research that can be done on how handguns and other firearms impact our lives.
So the statistic that I gave you at the start, 265 people were killed on New Year's Day through violent gun crime. Mm-hmm. In the US, was what on earth? Jake's playing. That doesn't include police shootings.
Correct.
Right, and the reason it doesn't include police shootings is because there's no collection of data around police shootings. Each force that you have in the States could tell you to the exact amount, the number of handbag snatchings and purse snatchings that there are, but they can't tell you, because there's no database, there's no statistic, the number of police shootings. No one stores that record.
I can tell you how many police shootings have been this year in the UK.
Yeah, because it's stored and it's recorded, but there is nothing in the US.
And it's one.
Yeah, individual law enforcement agencies, and in some cases groups of law enforcement agencies, have that data, but it's all isolated because it's for that one agency or that group of agencies. There's no national database of police shootings.
No, but there's also, if you go to, so the, if you listen to the Radiolab episode on this,
amazing episode.
It's brilliant. He goes to Dade County and he asks the guy there, and they don't keep a record. And he's one of the guys who is absolutely at the forefront of controlling police shootings. And the second episode around that is just unbelievably heartbreaking, about a bloke whose wife gets shot. They've had a domestic dispute. He's gone down to the river to get drunk in his truck. He makes a call to his friend to tell him, or to the local sheriff the local sheriff calls him and says, are you okay? And he says, yeah, I'm just down drinking. Where are you? I don't know where I am. We had a dispute with my wife. She threatened to shoot me, but I left, and that's the end of it. So the dispatcher then starts to relate this story to the officers who are attending and embellishes upon it. The officers who are attending then go there, and their anxiety is heightened. The woman comes out because she sees dark shadows. There's no lights on, there's no warnings or anything like that, and she sees lights on. So she comes out through the front door with a shotgun, and they shoot her dead.
Oh, gosh.
And the whole process of escalation of this guy, just all he did was he had a domestic dispute with his missus, and he got in his truck and he went out and got drunk by the swamp. And he finds out later that his wife's been gunned down by the police because the embellishment of the story has gone on about it, about how severe it was and it wasn't. And mm-hmm. this guy at Dade County, he says easily the best officers he has are the ones who are army trained, because they don't have their finger on the trigger. They have it on the called
on the butt.
It's on the trigger guard.
Yeah, no, it's not on that. What's the thing called? It's the receiver. It's on the receiver. The trigger's on the receiver. You know, the trigger finger's on the receiver, and they appreciate that it takes a split second to put it on the trigger and pull it. They don't need to have it on the trigger to start with. And he's been berated by people for his approach.
But in the UK, that she wouldn't have got shot because they'd have spoke to her first. They might have even phoned her or talked to her from about a mile away. Yeah. They just wouldn't have approached and then
Yeah, I. It's just that not, doesn't make sense to me when you know that you have a situation, or at least you believe you have a situation where there's a suspect with a gun involved. You don't go rushing in. You take your time. And you make sure the area is safe, and you figure out a safe or safer game plan to deal with the situation. You don't just go in with guns out.
Well, first thing you do is get a cordon on and start a dialogue, surely. Start talking to the person.
You can do a lot more with words for long-term solving problems as opposed to using bullets. When I was in the police academy, we were taught from the very first day, you don't put your finger on the trigger. And the only time your finger goes on the trigger is when you know it's time to make that bullet leave the gun. The rest of the time, your finger is off the trigger.
Comments in the chat room, and it's a good point here. Saranac says, biometric approval for use in geofencing, doesn't that sound a bit Judge Dredd? Because, of course, the Sylvester Stallone film was about geometric
geofencing.
No, it wasn't. It was about his brother, wasn't it? Because he was his DNA equal, his twin brother.
Oh, the DNA operated the gun, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So it's the same kind of thing. The question that the Muller's raised wasn't about the Radio Lab episode that I've just gone on about. It was about whether the geotagging and geo-ring fencing and whether biometrics will solve the gun problem in the US. And I'm not sure it will.
I don't think it will. I think the problem is that there's too many guns out there that won't operate like that. I mean, what this article was alluding to is if every gun had a GPS in it, you could literally go into a shop, and if you were a licensed carrier, if you went in this one area, there'd be a sign saying that your gun's going to be disabled. Sorry, mate. If you don't like it, don't shop here. And you walk in, and then everyone's gun would not work. Whether that would be for the police as well, but I don't think you want your police officers' guns not working. But
so the big problem you're going to have, though, is that if you're going to actually put this in place, you're going to have an enabling act through Congress that says that that mandatorily there will be, on all domestic gun licenses, there will be a requirement for biometric authorization. And the NRA are going to let that through?
Where this could actually work, actually, will be in Europe, where people do have guns, but
there isn't a gun problem.
Well, there isn't.
Yeah, we don't have a gun problem. I mean,
yes, we do, though. That's the problem. You don't think we have a gun problem, but we do. It's not like the US. I mean, when I retired 4 years ago, I was dealing with 4 or 5 gun incidents a day.
Really?
Yeah. And I can tell you about them. Okay. And particularly in one area of Birmingham, quite high. I mean, the West Midlands, where we live, it was called the gun capital of the UK. So as a member of the public, you probably don't hear about them. But there was so many low-level incidents every day. And I certainly remember over the last 20 years having guns pulled on me and being totally unarmed. As an unarmed officer, and then throwing things at them, and one person I drove at them. But don't say that this country hasn't got a gun problem, because it has. It just hasn't got the gun problem that the US has got.
But isn't it against the law to have a handgun and specifically pointed at a police officer?
I'm just going to break it to you gently. There are some people who don't give a shit what the law says.
This is what I'm saying, is that if it's that is precisely my point. Yeah, you're not allowed to have a gun. So what's the point in passing a law saying your gun you're not allowed to have has to have biometric protection?
Yeah, but the thing is, they've taken away guns from everybody for the people that use them unlawfully, and it hasn't really solved it, because they still got guns.
I think Muller's saying the same thing as you are. He's saying that the proliferation of guns in the UK is more than people perceive.
Yeah.
It's just we don't get mass shootings because of the fact that it's so if you want to get a semi-automatic handgun in the UK, you've got to get it illegally. And you're going to use it to rob a bank, and you're probably in that process going to shoot maybe one person, or probably not shoot anybody.
Not necessarily to rob banks. I mean, a lot of the gangs, and I won't say what colour they mainly are, but they tend to use them against each other.
Yes, all right, fair enough. But what I'm saying is there's no mass shootings like there is in America.
They don't tend to pick on the public.
No.
And thankfully not the police.
It's gang-on-gang firearms use rather than turning up at a pool party in San Diego and just blasting away for the hell of it.
I mean, certainly the large metropolitan areas like London, Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool, and probably a few others, certainly in those areas there is a lot of gun issues. And you probably don't hear about them because they are dealt with probably quite well.
Because they're not mass shootings.
Yeah, there's that, but they do. I mean, we've certainly had...
So if you're Mr. and Mrs. Joe Average, you're sitting there watching the TV news at 6 p.m. on a Tuesday night, are you going to be bothered about one gangster shooting another gangster, or are you bothered about someone who's opening fire on 20 people that they don't really know for the hell of it? And you're not going to be bothered about the gangsters. So the police are going to deal with that. The news show is going to be more interested about someone's cat who's stuck up a tree, particularly in Norwich.
Right. Bloody hell.
The trouble is, though, it doesn't always work like that. I mean, I certainly dealt with incidents where these people were firing at each other and people's windows were being broken and got bullets. Bullets don't care where they go. They go in a straight line, more or less, and up and down and straight. And if they miss the target, they go somewhere else. So,
if you watch the Mythbusters episode, you know that bullets go in a straight line regardless, mate.
But they get dragged down by
gravity. They go in an arc, don't they? So because they're always gravity's pulling down.
But they did. They did the. What was the game with James McAvoy where he did the
wanted. Oh yeah.
Where he curved the bullet.
There was the game, but it was mainly the film.
What's the comic? Was that called Wanted?
Wanted, yeah, that's right. Jake just said it, yeah.
Sorry, my enunciation doesn't suit.
No, you're not on mic, you moron. Serenac says, that's true, that, Ewan. Local news here do be cats up trees shit all the time.
That and cooking.
You do be getting a slap.
I do be getting a slap, boy. All right. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by us. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives us a Patreon donation because it makes a massive, massive difference to us. We pay Kyle Swagger to do the news show every day. And the money that we get from Patreon is what pays him to do it. And we've got a bit of a dip that's happened over the last 12 months in the Patreon subscriptions. And I think what it is the people that are out there who are paying through PayPal. And they haven't realised that PayPal has stopped paying the money to Patreon. So the donation that they think they're giving isn't actually being given. So if you are a Patreon donator, please go back and just double check that we took your Patreon donation last month, because in the last 12 months we've dropped by about $100, and I think it's people that just haven't been billed by PayPal. PayPal's got a nasty habit of dropping stuff like that. So thank you to everyone who has. I was saying today we've got a guy who's given us like $30 for the last 2.5 years. He's given us a massive amount, so thank you. If you like the news show, Kyle gets paid to do it, but it comes through from the Patreon donations. We do need those Patreon donations, otherwise we're a bit screwed. We also are reliant on UK2, and Jake's going to click on that now.
Eventually.
Now, he's going to click on UK. There we go. And without them, we couldn't afford the server space, we couldn't afford to store all the stuff that we do. You can get shit that we made 8 years ago on that server, thanks to UK2. If you want anything for the web, please, please, please look up UK2, britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors. There's offer codes there that will nearly clear your basket. And also, UK2 are just a wonderful company in terms of customer service. They're wonderful people. And please, if you're out there, just say thanks, UK2, for supporting that British Tech, because that kind of stuff makes a real difference. And also thanks to Hoya. Hoya support us as well. And they've given us the Uniku glasses there on the way. I've been measured for them, but not officially. So the ones that are on this picture that was taken at the exhibition, that's about four people along from that. Nope, keep going, Jack. There we go. That was me being measured by the Uniku cameras. And there's Mark looking at me images. And then there's me with me me glasses on.
See, it wasn't big enough for me to top your head off.
Uniku is an awesome system. Basically, it sets the lenses where they need to be relative to your vision, and then it builds the glasses around it, and the glasses are cut out of powder by a laser, and these glasses are made for you, and they're made for you for the point that there's actually your initials carved on the inside of them, so that they don't fit anyone else. They are built for your face, nothing else. It's an incredible system. I cannot wait to go and see. Those are the Avantech glasses, yeah, which we're not them. Talking about. But, but those are the ones that I'm wearing, which are awesome. If you want to know more about Hoya, then go to podcast.hoya.co.uk and ask them about Uniku, and also ask them about Avantech, and they'll help you out. And if you've got a set of frames, because Campion, see, look at Campion here.
Yeah.
Here's Camps, right?
Yep.
He's wearing lenses. He's wearing the frames that he used to have before, but he went to
Specsavers.
No, he did not. Jesus Christ! He went to Hoya, and Hoya put those lenses in for him into his old frames. They're Hoya lenses. Look,
all I did is I went and got measured at the opticians. Went to a place where I wanted to pick the glasses from. Just didn't get them to put the decent glass in. Just went to Hoya and got the glass put in there.
I have to say these ones have been brilliant. These are
the Avantech ones, yeah.
These particular brand, where they attach at the top, are much better than the previous ones I got. They're so much stronger and they're more durable.
Well, I've got the previous ones and I'm happy with them, so there you go.
Oh yeah, but I just these ones are brilliant. The ones where they top load, as you call them, these are absolutely brilliant.
And the bash is coming up, yes. 1st of July there will be the bash here in Birmingham. We've got, this is the best thing, we've got an entire weekend of fun planned out. So on the morning of the 30th, right, we've got a game of golf. We've got a tea time at 10 o'clock. If you'd like to come and play golf at the Forest of Arden with me, Martin Kelly, Patricia's going to walk around and Muller's going to walk around with us. But if you bring your bats, you can come along and play as well as. Then after that, we're going to go for the Max Show here at 4 p.m. And then after that, we're going to go over for the curry. And the curry's £10 as a deposit to reserve your space on that. And then after we've done the curry, we're going to go back to my house and we're going to have some aperitifs, maybe in my lit garden, which will be lovely. And then on Saturday morning, it's the bash on the 1st of July, down at the link. It's £20 for adults and £5 for kids. And the reason we've charged for the kids this year is because the little gits get all the sodding food.
All the chocolate brownie.
Oh, yeah. Man. They went in there. They were like locust. It was like an Egyptian plague.
Yeah, but they saved us, fat boys.
Well, they did. I walked out hungry, having paid for all the food. So we're charging a fiver for the kids, just because we pay $8.95 on per head on the food. So we're not taking the piss with the kids. But any kids from 5 to 16 need to pay a fiver. Over 16, they need to pay £20, and under 5, they don't need to pay anything, unless they've got big appetites. There you go. Please book your ticket now, because if we don't get enough people booked in, I will be cancelling the venue.
No.
There will still be some fun, don't get me wrong. If you're booked into a hotel and you come in here anyway, we'll have a barbecue in your back garden or something like that. But unless we've got enough people to satisfy the rental on the venue, then I'm afraid it'll be a bash in my back garden rather than a bash down at the link.
I'll bash your garden.
So please book your ticket now. Book it this month, and then we won't have a problem. Please. BritishTechNetwork.com/bash tickets if you would like a ticket for the bash. It is well worth coming. If you go to YouTube, to British Tech Live on YouTube, there is a video there of last year's bash, and it was an incredible, it's easily the best that we've done. I mean, we say it every year, it's the best we've ever done, but that really was the Hungry Hippos going, Jesus Christ, that was fun. That was unbelievable, unreal how fun that was. You got grown adults skating in on a skateboard being pushed by kids by their legs to try and gather balls with a washing up basin. It was fantastic, absolutely awesome.
I've got a modification for that game. I'll discuss again.
We've got some new games coming this year.
Yeah, I've got a modification on that one. I'll make it harder.
The standard. So apart from the card cutting championships, which is going to be ever present, yeah, there will be.
We've all got a chance to win.
There will
this
be
year.
only 2 years of a game. So the balloon tight game is gone. Won't be there this year. We're only doing 2 years of it. So there you go. There's new games to replace it. It'll be fun.
We're using the catapult really catapult balloon game on you.
Yeah, we might do that. But not at me. As the permanent welt I have here will attest. Thanks, Steve. Time for the cool thing then, starting us off.
Oh, it's gonna be righty.
Top left, it's gonna be Rich. Huh?
What's your cool thing? I'm gonna God, it's Mario Kart Switch.
Oh, what?
Sorry.
That's all right.
I really do think about and talk about other things, but...
Liar!
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe came out for the Switch, and my God, this is fun stuff. This has brought back two-player simultaneous split-screen playing computer games back into my living room. I could play Allison at a game, and the way this is made, she could beat me having never played it before. I cannot endorse this game enough. In my opinion, enough reason to buy a Switch in its own right. It's that good. And this for me is just further proof that I don't know, I think it might not be as powerful as the other two main contenders, but the Switch is definitely becoming the most fun console I've ever owned. And this game, honestly, it's fantastic. It's Mario Kart, so it's like racing, but not in a kind of F1 simulator kind of way, which really takes the pressure off. And it's just lots of fun to play with people who are in the room that you can swear at to their face.
Anyone who really says good that Mario Kart is not like an F1 simulator really doesn't get it. Because
yeah,
Mario Kart has never been like an F1 simulator, ever.
I just think Rich, it can be, if you've never played Mario Kart before, I think you go through an initial period of realizing, hang on, that's not fair. I was first, I've been first all the way around. I waited till 10 yards before the finish line, and then I exploded 19 times. And that's not fair, but that's Mario Kart.
It is. No, and when you get the big magic bullet at the end, you know, and it's just like, and that's it, you're through. And you win regardless. As long as you can steer reasonably. I thought the Switch, when it came out, it's like a cartridge console. It's 2017. What on earth are you doing bringing out a cartridge console? Why is it not all App Store based? Because it is bollocks. That's the only thing that lets it down. I guarantee you. I'm quite happy to understand that the console is great itself, and the interchangeability and the functionality of swapping between format to format is great. And all the games are fantastic, but why are they not app-based and on a card rather than plugging a freaking cartridge in? That is so lame.
Well, you can download them all. I mean, there's nothing I've got on a cartridge that you can't buy digitally and just download to the Switch.
But they sold it based on the cartridge. I never got that. What, if you can digitally download it from the store and then put it on, then fair enough, I'd go along with that. But they sold it on the basis that it was a cartridge game. And I just went, dope.
Well, to be honest, I personally prefer cartridges. If I can get a game on a cartridge rather than digitally, I'll do that, because then I can sell it later if I want.
What happens when the cartridge runs out?
Okay. Okay, well, maybe I'm just a dinosaur.
And this scratch. You know, how many times, God, the original Xbox, most of my games just died before the end of before the console did. Because they're on discs, and discs scratch, and, you know, that kind of thing. So, I'm a big fan of cartridges. What can I say?
Fair enough. I stand corrected. Jeffrey, what do you have for us?
Well, as I recall, the last time I was on, everyone was going crazy about the Fast Tech website, and I was tasked with it. So, what happened was I looked at a lot of products, and there's this one that I was like, Huh, that's kind of interesting because it looks sort of like a waffle iron for your dick. So I did a little more research and it turns out there's a better version that you can get on Amazon with Prime.
Here's
the thing, it's called the Tenga Flip Pole.
Jake, and don't put a picture of this up there. Don't put a picture of this up.
It wraps around your happy place and has buttons on it so you can control the vacuum and the pressure. And unlike the one on Fast Tech, I believe this one won't actually cause you physical harm. So if you need a special tool to take care of your tool and you want to have a little bit of flexibility with it, and you want something that brags about how it uses elastomer lining, which apparently is the same stuff that an Apple Watch band is made out of, we found your toy. So you can pick up a Tenga Flip Pull for, it's like $61 off of Amazon.
$60 to replace your right hand.
And they will ship to it.
Yeah, but the thing is, and they will then ship you'd have to, both hands free. So you could like text or have two drinks at the same time.
It does ship to the UK from the link you've got, but you can get Tenga from it virtually anywhere. And what's interesting as well is if you buy the Tenga Flip Black, right, you can also get the Tenga Whole Lotion and the Tenga Deep Throat Cup.
Wait, I missed the Deep Throat Cup.
The Deep Throat Cup for $88.
Oh, well, there you go.
And, I just thought it was a cheap electronics website, and look what you've got.
And it's Prime.
Mate, I've been married for 20 years. Masturbation toys are my life.
Well, now we know what to get you for Christmas.
And every year thereafter, because it'll wear out. I just look at what's inside, and it looks like the Death Star of Star Wars. It's like there's a channel there that you've got to go down with an X-wing fighter and drop something.
Stay on target.
It is. Look at it. See, look at that. That's like the curvature right there on the Death Star.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff packed in there before you get packed in there.
And then boom, there's a moving ball.
I would be scared to death of putting that anywhere near.
It's like gladiators. Look, it's the gauntlet and gladiators. You got a moving ball, then you've got to get through the cross wall, then there's the end orb before you make the orb shelter corb, and then you've got the brushing edge before you get to the waving ball, and finally you can ejaculate.
What's it going to look like when it comes out?
It's white and runny.
According to the Amazon page, it is easy to clean.
Cabs, Jesus, have you never looked?
Oh, my God. I didn't mean that.
Oh, God.
Are you sure you didn't need it?
Another explicit tag for the big show.
Rich's fault.
Top pick, Jeff. I'll blink the whole section there, but top pick, Jeff. The Switch is frigging brilliant, Rich. Yeah, it really is. Cabs, what have we got for a fight?
Am I allowed to pick the same one that I had on the pocket show or not?
No, you lame ass. Right,
I can give you some suggestions.
in that case, then, it's a bit of a boring one this week, but a useful one if you're after a screen protector for your iPhone.
Is it for something else? Well, no, it really is a screen protector.
It is a screen protector. For Mother's Day, I got my wife an iPhone SE, and she wanted a screen protector. So I went shopping around. I've not had a great history with screen protectors. I find that they all bubble. They all last within a couple of months, start to peel off. So I had a bit of a look around, and Anker do a tempered glass screen protector.
God, we love Anker.
Yeah, fits really, really well. The instructions in the case are not that clear, but they've got a great YouTube video that shows you how to fit it very, very easily. It fits very well. No air bubbles, Yeah, really happy with it. It's $5.99, and yeah, like you say, they knock out good products to Anker. So worth a go if you're in the market for them.
When I was a kid, right, Mother's Day presents were you made a flower out of tissue paper at school and took it home with some pipe cleaners that were coated in green stuff, and your mum was over the moon. What happened to buying a phone?
She, in all honesty, I probably, she's been needed a new phone for ages. I think I've probably just used the opportunity as a Mother's Day present. I need to get her a present. She needs a new phone. There you go.
My kids are really generous.
Yeah. They paid for it all by themselves, honest.
I mean, she's been washing, Erin's been washing the car for £5 a week for the last 40 years, even though she's only five.
Yeah, she's got to cut the grass, do the hedges, everything tomorrow. Still in debt.
She sits and longs for the workhouse.
Yeah, you should see pile of ironing.
Dad, I know I'm helping, but can I get an ant mill?
No.
Can I get out a coal mine?
No, go sweep the street.
Lick the tongue. Oh, lick the road clean. Righty boy, what do BU have in for us as a cool thing?
Oh, sorry, I was looking at leather spanking paddles on Fast.
As one does.
Surprise. Have you got a link, says Jake?
No. As we were talking on the podcast show on Tuesday, there's nothing like getting up in the morning, getting dead legs, holding up the bathroom with a bit of the morning motion.
Yep.
So the game I got for you, which I'll put in the chat room because I'm more efficient like that, is called Kemi 2. Now, I'm on one of the really easy levels here. What you have to do, you've got coloured patterns on your screen. You have a certain amount of moves to make all the screen all one colour. So this one's quite easy. So I can turn red to blue. I choose a colour. I'm going to turn that to red. Yeah, that one to red. That one to red. And then you get an all red screen. But it's a nice little thing. It gets very complicated as it goes on. But it's a very satisfying little game for the mornings. But a very frustrated wife banging on the door going, how long are you going to be? I think about 3 levels time I'll be with you. Oh, actually, I cocked that one up. So it wasn't that easy. But it's called Kemi 2. It's on iOS. And it's free. And there are no in-app purchases.
Yay. Oh, cool. We like knowing that purchases. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Good fun.
Excellent, mate.
But if not, the Sex Toys PU leather pink spanking panel that has an X0X0 indentation that will leave a pattern on your arse.
XOXOXO.
Yeah. $4.55.
I think you sunk my battleship.
I think you need to order two.
Let's stick with that.
Jake's put a picture of a camera too, just to be safe.
Just stick with that.
Hey, can you use it for his donkey, though? Smack.
Eeyore. Muller, what have you got for us, mate?
I put mine in the chat room already.
The TP Link Archer.
Yeah. I was... I had to go and get some stuff from the supermarket the other week, and I thought I popped into Curry's Black. I know this is the Amazon link, but and I thought I'm fed up of having a great big lead leading at the back of my new PC all the way to my network. So I thought, oh, I'll just get myself a wireless nano thing, and there was a few things on offer, and I bought one of these. I paid £3 more at the shop actually than this. I think I paid
$13.99 on Amazon.
Yeah, I think I paid the RRP there. So, and actually, it absolutely is a breeze, and it works really well. So, if you just need to add wireless to any computer, stick one of these in, and away.
Excellent.
It's pretty simple, really, isn't it?
It's superb.
Mine was clean.
Jake is doing the best he possibly can. It's his first night. His induction for this was like 2 minutes before we actually started. So he's doing brilliantly.
2 minutes is generous.
2 minutes is probably generous. Yes, that's fair. But do you appreciate how much I do now, dude, during the show?
Oh, but I did anyway. It's the rest of everyone else in the world that you need to think about.
Yeah. If you can talk, use that.
I wasn't planning on talking, but like, yeah.
Well, everyone else in the world, you need to appreciate what Ewan does during the show if he is presenting.
There you go. See, covered it. My hands are free, and but all the stuff that Jake's done, I do, as well as do the show, which is why I sound vacant and stupid for most of them.
Jake, I'll witness the handover of the cash later. Okay.
Worrying,
I'm sorry.
The worrying part is I haven't sounded any different this week when I'm not actually doing it. So.
I've done slightly worse, but he's just had to talk, and I've been trying to sort all this out, just and
the switching and stuff. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah.
And add alcohol to it, and God, man, it's impossible. I'm telling me. right, where can we get a hold of you, Rich the Switch?
You can get hold of me all at simplysyndicated.com for all my podcasts and stuff, and then everything else I put up at techsupportrich.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you for coming along. We're going to do a pinch show afterwards, because we had a request this afternoon that said we haven't done a pinch for ages, so we did a pinch this afternoon on the Mac show, which was the strangest thing you've eaten. So, chat room, come on, Let's have a topic of what we can do for the pinch. Five-minute show straight afterwards. Jeffrey. Where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Not my topic.
How about over at MacObserver.com and at FreshBrewTales.com and Jay Gambit on Twitter and pretty much every podcast around, including Daily Observations.
Unbelievable amounts of podcasts. Camps, where are you, mate?
On Twitter, find me in the Slack room. Most weeks on here on the Big Show, and I'm going to be on the Pocket Show as well.
Too right.
Good on you, mate. Where are you writing?
Paul was on Twitter, mate. Over here doing the Big Show, doing the reviews, doing the Pocket Show, and on a Sunday hanging out with Mr. Rich at SimpleSyndicated.com.
Rich the Switch sounds dangerously BDSM.
It does, doesn't it? It does.
He's next to Jeff.
Sometimes I'm submissive, sometimes I'm a bitch. have you got Rich the Bitch, or have you got Rich the Coward?
What day is it?
Good lad. Good answer. Muller, where are you, mate?
Well, today I'm here. I'm on Muller Biker on Twitter. I'm on Facebook if you want. And tomorrow I'll be cheering on the Mighty Wasps against them Saracens in London. Hey.
My kids, we went down to... So I went to a golf day for Click Sergeant, in Ada Click Sergeant, with one of my customers. And I felt it was kind of expected that I bought something. So I bought some tickets to Saracens at Wembley for Saracens versus Harlequins. 71,000 people there. It was an awesome day. Really, really good. Really enjoyed it. My two kids picked up 50 flags. 50 Saracens flags. And they brought them home. And the wife was going mental like, they've got to keep in your room. I'm not having those lying around everywhere. And I said to the kids, you know, on the 6th of May, we're playing Saracens. So the kids have come up with the idea they want to sell the flags back to the Saracens fans tomorrow for a quid a piece.
I love your kids.
I'm so proud. But I have said to them that we're going to give the money to Click Sergeant. So, which is right. Only right and proper.
Who's Click Sergeant, by the way?
Click Sergeant is a charity for kids that have got terminal diseases. So. It's a brilliant, brilliant charity. I made some films for them through Network Rail last year. And Steve Neighbour, you all know Steve. Steve ran the London Marathon a couple of weeks ago, and he was in aid of Click Sergeant, and he got well over £2,000. Someone donated £250 on the day, and he doesn't know who it is, but they were very generous. Thanks very much for them. But one of the things that's really impressive is Steve registered a time of 3 hours 42 minutes. And a sub 4-hour marathon is friggin' impressive. For people who are properly fit, they still strive for 4 hours. Under 4 hours is just unheard of. He did a brilliant job. Unreal.
He's a bit mad.
He bloody is, mate. They're 5-minute kilometres. That's incredibly fast.
Mind you, his taxi had to go all the way around, didn't it?
Well, he did. I saw him yesterday. I said, "How did you get on, mate? Talk me through it, mile by mile." He said, "I had one toilet stop that I needed desperately, and I think he had to stop for a shit." And that's like I did 3:42 and I stopped for a shit. So it's like, well done. That's incredible, mate.
Yeah, all that tells me is his morning motion games are rubbish.
Exactly. Should have been there for at least 5 hours before he finished up. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again on Friday next week, where we'll do exactly the same shiz as we've done now, but with different stories. Yeah, but there'll still be links to stuff that that Jeff's sex toys, I'm sure. Join us next week, and it'll be awesome. Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening.